grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, our text today for the sermon is from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. Amen. Friends, this being St. John Lutheran Church's 150th year, I thought I would tell you something that happened to me a couple of years ago at a paint store here in town as I was just setting up an account for the church because we were doing a lot of painting. Now, to open an account, you had to fill out a form. And one space on the form said, how long has your business been in existence? List the year. So I wrote 1855. And I handed the form to the clerk. And he looked it over and he said to me, you've got something wrong here. I think you mean 1955. And you put down 1855. And I said, well, sorry, but that's when our church was founded, 100-some years ago. And he said to me, wow, we've never had anyone in here before with a business. What was that? It is curious that so few businesses or organizations can survive 150 years unless it's some kind of government organization. And there are several reasons for that. I think most commonly that clientele changes. Or it could be that the product just isn't needed anymore that the company offers. And of course, today there's so many buyouts going on in businesses and they change ownership and name so often that it's hard to survive even for a decade. But that's not something that should ever happen to a congregation, to a church like ours that's committed to teaching and preaching the message of an unchanging Lord, Christ, even in a society such as ours that is constantly changing. For although people change and interests move from one thing to another over the years, the fact remains that people will always be in need of the one thing that God has given the church and this congregation of St. John. And that is its possession, the truth that what all people really need. The answer all of our problems today, no matter how big or how small, is contained in that simple sentence that the Lord put into the mouth of Peter that day when Jesus asked who people say he was. When he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This simple thought is the basis of all that we teach, confess, and believe here together in this congregation. And in our anniversary year, we have chosen that theme, Jesus, our anchor and foundation. Jesus was Peter's foundation when he boldly spoke these words that day. He is the foundation of all who confess this truth from their hearts. Now, some people have interpreted these words of Jesus and understood them to be specific to Peter only when he said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. These people point out that the word Peter means rock, and so Jesus meant that the church would be built on the person of Peter himself. This is why the Roman Catholic Church believes that the Pope is Peter's successor. And there always needs to be a pope in Rome, as we've seen an election of a new pope this year. And unless one is under the authority of the pope as a pastor, and unless an individual Christian submits to that pope, he is either lost to Christ or going to have a really hard time finding Christ. Now, the biggest problem in seeing this passage this way that there's no mention of a successor to Peter anywhere in the Bible. So if Jesus meant the church was built on Peter, then that promise died out with Peter, and it no longer exists on earth, and there is no Christian church, for Peter is no longer with us. And Jesus pointed see them. We, however, understand the rock on which the church is built is not Peter's himself, but it is the faith which Peter confessed, which all Christians confess with him. That is the truth about what he said about Jesus. Whoever can say with Peter, with all their heart, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believes what that sentence means, is part of the Holy Christian Church, built on such faith. And the promise applies to them personally, that even hell, with all its power and fury, cannot overcome them. This applies to them personally, you and to me, if we believe what these words mean. Now, this is nothing against Peter, because he certainly was an outspoken man. As we read the scriptures, we find Peter doing all kinds of things very proactively. Why was Peter in the garden that night when Jesus was arrested, who whipped out a sword and so fervently defended his Lord as to cut off the ear of one of the soldiers? Now, I'd say to you, though, that's pretty uncharacteristic of how a disciple of the Prince of Peace should act. And we find Peter making a lot of mistakes like that. But not only him, but most of all the characters in the Bible show such failures in their lives. For instance, Abraham, great father of faith, but you remember he was the guy who was so afraid that if somebody saw his wife, especially Pharaoh down in Egypt, his wife Sarah being so beautiful, they might hurt him or kill him to have his wife. So he lied and he said that she was his sister. Or Moses. Remember when the Lord came to him with the burning bush and said, "You're going to leave my people, Israel, out of slavery?" He said, "I just can't do it. I don't have the power to do that." And even remember later, when God lifted up and he was out in the wilderness there, God said that he should hold his cane out over a rock and water would gush forth. He got in his mind and he had to show that the power was within him, and so he disobeyed the Lord. In one simple little way, he struck the rock, hit it with that stick. But the Lord said, "Not going to enter into my promised land for you to disobey me." And many of the characters in the Bible are quick to show us their faults. But friends, we too have our failings and our sins before God. Where do we start to enumerate? Where would we begin? There are so many. Because not only are those things that we have done wrong willfully, but what about all the missed opportunities that we have made that we're embarrassed to remember? Even our congregation of St. John has its sins. Have we been as bold as we could have been in this last century and a half to witness to the truth of Christ in this community? Have we reached out with the gospel of Christ in the way we should? Or have we been content to play it safe or do what is affordable in worldly terms? And yet we, as a congregation, like St. Peter, can confess together this morning that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must be ready to explain what that statement means. It means that we believe that only Jesus is the one Christ, the one anointed by God to be the world's Savior and supreme leader. Only Jesus was acceptable to God to be his Savior, as he is the one and only Son of God. Totally pure and free from sin, Jesus was, but only Jesus could complete the task of offering his life as a ransom for everyone's sins, and only Jesus had the power to overcome death and to guarantee our eternal life after we pass from this world. Only Jesus could do this for us. Not Peter. Not Moses. Not you or I have such power and authority as Jesus Christ has. And the great thing is that he has given his church you and me the authority to preach his name to this world, that all who receive that word and believe what it says share in this great salvation and have as a possession eternal life. Think about that power, my friend, that the Lord has put into this body of people. What a blessing we have. And what a challenging task we have before us. I know today is the beginning of the new Sunday school season, and we have some people in our congregation who have been touched by God and have answered the call to teach each week. Now, it seems like a small thing, but God has led them to see this as their responsibility. These are not necessarily their children, but they have agreed that for the next 9 to 10 months, they need to be here for an hour Sunday morning. And they need to devote an hour or more on Saturday to get ready to teach God's children. God has put in their hearts that this is an important task. And we as a congregation are given that opportunity to support and help them in that way. Now it seems that our society today is very difficult to reach. It seems that no one wants to risk offending anybody else. Now that'd be all right if the world weren't headed for disaster on the last day. But as God's church, we must take risks to bring the good news to those in danger. You know, when you speak about Christ out in the world, in society, in a public way or maybe in a private way with a friend or neighbor, it's not a failure if it's not received by that other person or group. It's not a failure. It's only a failure if we do not preach it, if we fail to proclaim it. In our context with others, we must lovingly present Jesus as an answer. No one wants a dumbed-down, milquetoast, apologetic presentation of the faith that Jesus said that the gates of hell, the devil himself, of all his fury, cannot overcome. We must remain bold and unashamed of the gospel in the present day if we want to continue for another 150 years or even one more year. Friends, we've got everything we need, though. We've got a firm foundation together as a congregation. And we have some big tasks that God has given us. As I said, to teach children together and in our own families to proclaim the good news to those who have not yet considered it, to preserve the truth against the falsehood and editorializing of the precious Word of God that goes on today, and to live in it as dependent children, as baptized Christians. Now, God will strengthen us for this task as we call upon his name together. Therefore, we should set it before ourselves as a goal to be the generation that the people 150 years from now will look back at and say, wow, those people really believed, and they were blessed. They reestablished a Christian day school after it was closed for more than 60 years. This has already been done in this congregation due to God's grace. But these people in the future could say, they extended the kingdom of God by sending missionaries to places like Jamaica and Africa. They used their wealth to start mission congregations nearby in their community as it grew out of the Westward. And those people of St. John in the year 2005 really lived what they believed. Friends, we can be that kind of people because we have God's promise. The gates of hell will not overcome our faith. And finally, a quick thought. A thought about what if. What if in this community, just say, there was a physician, a doctor who was so successful with his patients that no patient under his care ever died. That he was so successful, people would come from all over the world to be treated by that doctor here in our community. And people of great wealth and fortune would lay it all down so that they could be treated by that one person. Why, a doctor like that would be so successful and so well known, everybody the world over would want to come and be treated by him. Can you imagine that? Well, something even greater going on here today among us. For God has given us a greater message than that. A greater source of healing. A source of life everlasting. And not merely in this world, but in the world beyond. The world apart from sin and death and hardship and pain. God has given us that message and that life for us to proclaim from this pulpit and this altar and from your words in this community, to lead people here to be baptized into Christ, where he puts on them the role of eternal life. That is what we are about as a congregation, and it is a sure thing. While a doctor of that nature, you know, would never come, we have been given. The gates of hell will not overcome those who confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and their Savior. God bless you in this confession. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and lives in Christ Jesus.